Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at the book, Articles of Faith, written by a Mormon apostle by the name of James Talmage. Talmage was also the author of the book we looked at last week, Jesus the Christ. Both books were commissioned to be written by the first presidency of the LDS Church, and Talmage was the man that they chose to write those books. The Articles of Faith was given as a gift for Christmas in 1984 and again in 2010. So as you can imagine, this book has a bit of a special feel to it that the church leadership felt that it needed to be given away twice, not just once. So we're looking at the book today, and we're looking at chapter 13. As I explained yesterday, the outline used for this book was a letter that was written by Joseph Smith to the editor of the Chicago Democrat, a man by the name of John Wentworth. In that letter, Smith outlined these basic teachings that his church believed. And yesterday we talked about the word creed. We know that Mormons don't like to say that they have a creed, but yet this really does fit the definition of a creed. What James Talmage did was basically put flesh on those 13 brief articles and went into each one of them and elaborated on what those brief statements really meant in the context of Mormonism. So we're looking at page 236, of what he has to say about the Bible. And yesterday we were saying that, for the most part, he's pretty complimentary of the Bible. But in this bottom paragraph found on page 236, he's going to expose his reservations, as he calls it.
He writes, "Nevertheless, the church announces a reservation in the case of erroneous translation, which may occur as a result of human incapacity. And even in this measure of caution, we are not alone, for biblical scholars generally admit the presence of errors of the kind, both of translation and of the transcription of the text."
Well, let's stop there, because this is an important distinction that we have to make if we're going to fully understand what Article 8 tells us. Smith said, "We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly." But did you notice what Talmage does in this paragraph? He expands it from translation to what he says is transcription or transmission of the text. I personally think that's the real issue. Mormon leaders have said rather loudly that our Bibles can't be trusted because they've been corrupted over the years. That would be a transmission error.
Yeah, it's interesting that he uses both words, translation and transcription. But I would say that translation is only as good as the translators of the Bible themselves. I mean, there are many different kinds of translations out there. Even Joseph Smith himself has written a translation. And so are we going to put reservations on Joseph Smith's translation just because of Article 8? It doesn't seem to make sense. But if there had been corrupt priests and others who were making changes to the Bible to fit their own purposes, that seems to be the gist of what Joseph Smith meant when he said, "We believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly."
So let me see if I understand you correctly, Eric. What you're saying is that Smith probably didn't use the correct word. He uses the wrong word. Because if it's just a translation problem, that sounds like a pretty easy fix. All we need to do is go back to the manuscripts that are available to us to see if the translation fits what the manuscript actually says.
And there are rules in translation. And so there are right ways to translate and there are wrong ways. And whenever you put your own presuppositions into the text, you are doing it wrongly. I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses are known for doing this in their New World Translation that mangles verses completely and changes them to fit their own theology. And you can even see that in their interlinear where on the left-hand side with the Greek, for instance, in the New Testament, they'll have the literal words for, but you don't translate it that way, but they'll have the literal words there, but then they have different words and different meanings in the actual New World Translation text. And so scholars would say across the board, it's a terrible translation meant for a purpose of indoctrinating the people who belong to the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society. So the idea of translation, it's important to understand that distinction between that and transcription.
Yeah, and when he uses the word transcription, that opens up a whole new area in which we can criticize what Talmadge is saying, because if he's trying to argue the case that if the transmission was not accurate, basically, folks, it doesn't matter if it's a good translation, because it would only be a good translation of a bad transmission. Don't let those words confuse you. They're very important. And that, I think, is really what a lot of Mormon leaders have been trying to get across to their membership. Now, it doesn't work with Bible scholars. And he's going to try to use Bible scholars in this paragraph to make a point for himself, but I don't think that most Bible scholars would take his conclusions quite so far. And I still think that even though we recognize there is no perfect translation and there's also no perfect transmission, we have enough evidence available to us as Christians that we can get a pretty good understanding as to what the Bible is supposed to say to us, or what the authors intended when they wrote what they wrote.
He continues writing, "The Latter-day Saints believe the original records to be the Word of God unto man, and as far as these records have been translated correctly, the translations are regarded as equally authentic. The English Bible professes to be a translation made through the wisdom of man. In its preparation, the most scholarly men have been enlisted, yet not a version has been published in which errors are not admitted."
I don't think anybody would argue that statement, because we know that translations are works of men. Men are finite in their knowledge and understanding. It shouldn't surprise us any more than it surprises us that the Mormon Church has produced a lot of translations of their Book of Mormon, and they've had to go back and retranslate those and come out with new revised editions because the earlier editions of that particular translation of the Book of Mormon was not quite as accurate as they now think it could be. So they're just as guilty of this when it comes to the Book of Mormon. Nobody has a translation of the Book of Mormon outside of the English, they would say, that comes directly from the original. The gold plates. We don't have the gold plates. So really, the English that we have is a second generation, would it not be?
Yes, that would be called an autograph. We don't have the original autographs of the Bible. We don't have the autograph of the Book of Mormon either. That's plain.
And since it was written, first of all, from the Reformed Egyptian, allegedly, to English, that means, let's say, since I was using the Russian version couldn't have come from the autograph. It had to come from a translation allegedly from the autograph. So if we're going to use this as an argument, the argument goes both ways here. And I think by the very fact that the Mormon Church has seen fit to have to do revisions of their translations shows that they run into this difficulty as well. But what Russian Mormon wouldn't say that his Russian edition of the Book of Mormon isn't trustworthy? They would all think it's trustworthy, just as we would say that our English editions of the Bible are trustworthy.
But Bill, if you have a Russian with his Russian version of the Book of Mormon, and he was to retranslate that back into English, I guarantee you it would not be exactly the same as what the English Book of Mormon is today. I had a chance to study under two men who were translators of the New International Version, the NIV, back in the 1970s. Dr. Ronald Youngblood, and you had a chance to study under him as well in San Diego.
I did. I had him for a hermeneutics class. Yes.
And also Dr. Wessel in the Greek, in the New Testament. And I listened to many, many stories, because they would tell stories. It was fascinating to hear of how the translation process went on. I think a lot of Latter-day Saints do not understand why there are so many different translations, because it's not a word-for-word kind of way of taking the Greek and moving it right over to the English and making it all work out. There's a lot to it. There's nuances. and there are different ways of going about it. And I can guarantee you, neither Dr. Youngblood nor Dr. Wessel would have agreed with every single way that it was translated. I mean, they had to vote on it, and there were other things they had to do because there were different possibilities. And so it's a very challenging way of going about taking the original and then taking it and putting it into another language. So there is no perfect translation.
But let me ask you this, Eric. Dr. Youngblood, for instance, since both of us had him as a professor, do you think he was trying to corrupt the text or corrupt the meaning of the text in any way? I got the impression that Dr. Youngblood loved the text. Why would he want to purposely inject errors into the text?
And even when he had disagreed with a scholar on the way that a certain word should be put into the English, he never said, well, that professor obviously does not want what I want. They both agreed they wanted what was the right way to translate it. It's just that there are different ways of doing it because this is very complicated. There's not one perfect way of doing it, and he would certainly acknowledge that.
But yet many Mormon leaders have given the impression that over the years, the reason why the transmission of the text was corrupted, as they say, was because there were people purposely trying to take something out or to make sure something was inserted that supported their personal views rather than what the author intended in the first place. And I think that's deceptive.
And one of the things about Bible translation is you have to take the manuscripts and be able to go back to the earliest and most authentic. Because yes, as time goes on and you get into the 8th, 9th, 10th century AD time period, you're not going to trust those manuscripts as much as you're going to trust the earlier ones. So, and you also would take a look and you'd go with the harder reading when you're taking a look at which text is correct, because there are variations and they would grade them based on the idea of something that was smoothed over probably was something that had been changed by a scribe who was trying to help make sense of that. But you go with the harder reading as probably being more likely to be the original reading.
And a scribe, as you just described, is interpreting then at that point. He's not really translating.
Right.
He's interpreting, and that's what they're not supposed to do. So the challenge would be for the Mormon to prove where that happened if they're going to make a case like that. Where did that happen then? Is this verse not believable? Is that verse believable? What test did you use to come to this conclusion? Whatever test it is should be able to be used on all other verses as well. Well, tomorrow we're going to begin by a statement by James Talmadge on page 237, where he seems to admit that the errors, these alleged errors, are not all that many.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today.